This is The Guardian.
I'm Laura Murphy Oates, and this is The Full Story. For such a small state, Tasmania has a big gambling problem. It's a gambling problem that has seen lives and families fall apart. And some say it's also swayed elections and seen prospective governments tumble. A bill currently before the Tasmanian Parliament that was meant to reform this industry and reduce the harm that it causes instead has been described as a sweetheart deal for the gambling industry, one that they helped write. And critics say this is a missed opportunity for reform. Today, the state where pokies is king. It's Wednesday, the 17th of November.
Hi.
Hello. Sorry to keep you waiting there.
So firstly, can you just introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about your political career in Tasmania?
So I'm Chrissy Johnson, the independent member for Clark in the state parliament. I was elected in May this year in the state elections, and previously I've been the mayor of Glenorchy. So I've been the mayor since 2014 and very proud to serve my local community. It's an incredibly diverse community and it's got a great sense of genuineness and a gritty integrity that comes with the wonderful people that we have there. We're a very multicultural community and we've got people that come from all corners of the globe right in our community. I like to say and boast that we are the most multicultural community in Tasmania. We've got some challenges, though, because we are quite disadvantaged when it comes to our socioeconomic indicators, in particular around work and income, but also in educational attainment too. We have very low educational attainment. And we've got people, a lot of people living with disabilities and also a lot of people who are really struggling with their day-to-day needs.
Mm. Growing up in this area, did you see the impact of the gambling industry and of poker machines more specifically?
Yeah, look, I certainly did. My parents have been involved in the community sector all the time I grew up, and particularly my mother. She was a manager of a local emergency relief agency. And when I remember when I was a teenager sort of going in on school holidays and helping her out with data entry, and at the time the state government had rolled out poker machines into pubs and clubs for the first time, and part of their mum's job was to go and collect data about what the impact of that would be. And what I found, and I remember putting the data in for her at the time on a volunteer basis, was that just about every client she saw who was experiencing financial distress had in some way been impacted by poker machines, that people were experiencing the harm that was caused by addiction or by someone else's addiction in their family and the impact of that as well.
Can you give us some examples of the harm that you've seen them cause to your community or more broadly in Tasmania?
There was a couple of families. The kids were going hungry because the household income was going into the poker machine across the road. You know, that's just a heartbreaking story. As mayor, I often talk to people who were quite concerned about poker machine addiction, and I've sat in too many people's living rooms hearing the tragic stories. I've sat there and talked to grandparents who are now caring for their grandchildren because their son or their daughter has a poker machine addiction and is no longer able to provide for their family.
So, Chrissy, what is the financial impact of the pokies, both in Glenorchy and across Tasmania?
Glenorchy has a dubious title of being the golden mile for poker machines. About $2 million a month in Glenorchy goes into poker machines. So we have about 8 pubs that have poker machines, and they are the best earners. We do know that we spend an awful lot on poker machines. So about $140 to $170 million a year on average goes into poker machines in Tasmania. And when we're talking about the money that goes into poker machines, we know that about 40% of that is from people who are addicted to poker machines.
Compared to the rest of Australia, I mean, Australia has a gambling problem. Is Tasmania's gambling problem worse?
Look, I think it's hard to say whether we're worse or not, but I think what we are is highly vulnerable because we have the poorest protections around harm minimisation in Tasmania.
Okay, so Steph, I spoke to independent MP and former mayor of Glenorchy, Chrissy Johnson, and she told me about the problem with pokies in her state. Why is this such a big problem in Tasmania?
Look, it's a long story and it's a wild story. To understand, we kind of need to go back into the history of pokies and gambling, essentially, in Tasmania. And it goes back decades.
Stephanie Convery is Guardian Australia's inequality reporter.
It's a story about deals done behind closed doors between industry and government, deals that until recently didn't really come under public scrutiny. It's a story about lack of disclosure of information. It's also a story about the public of Tasmania, and many of whom have been victims of gambling harm and have lost so much money to pokies over the years. Tasmanians spend about $15 million on pokies every month. Essentially, Tasmania is the state where the power of the gaming industry has kind of crystallized and really become most obvious in a lot of ways.
Where do we need to start if we want to understand the power and influence that the gambling lobby has in Tasmania?
So basically, this all started back in the 70s. Tasmania was the first state in Australia to open a casino. That happened in 1973. And since then, it's kind of, like I said, become this place where the influence of the gaming industry is really, really stark. So one company have held the license to run gaming interests in the state for that entire time. They used to be called Federal Hotels. Now they're called Federal Group. According to the Tasmanian Inquirer, as of 2020, Federal Group has control of two casinos and 12 pubs across the state. And across casinos and pubs, there are more than 1,500 poker machines. They're basically owned by the Farrell family. They're from Sydney. They're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Greg Farrell and his son have been chairman of the Federal Group that entire time. It's very much a family company. So they had that first license to run a casino, and they have had the license to manage pokies, any kind of gaming in the state that entire time. This means that they've been making hundreds of millions of dollars off basically all the gambling that's been happening in Tasmania for about 50 years.
That money is going into the pockets of pokie barons, which is really quite concerning. And that's the tragedy around this. We're not even getting a good deal for the state, let alone if we're thinking about the harm that it causes on individual communities and families.
So, Steph, how is it that one company, the Federal Group, has held on to such a lucrative license over this whole period of time?
It's pretty astounding. The license was repeatedly renewed without going to tender or anything like that. So we don't really know the details of these deals. And much of it isn't really on the public record, but there is some information. One part of that is that according to reporting by the ABC, Federal Group has previously stated that the 2003 deed between the Crown and the company includes a rolling term that, and I'm quoting here, ensures the company is provided with at least 4 years' notice of any changes to the arrangements, and the arrangements continue, quote, unless the minister provides formal written notice otherwise.
Mm. And there's a history of these deals being done in secret. So the deal done with Federal initially to put them into pubs and clubs, out of casinos into pubs and clubs, was a secret deal. The deals to continue over the deeds and the arrangements that have been in place have been secret deals.
Basically, they have been making deals with state governments. When their license expires, they get a renewal. But that changed recently.
How did this change, Steph? How did some of these details come to light?
This is actually one of my favourite parts of this story. Back in 2015, David Walsh, the guy who owns and runs MONA, the Museum of Old and New Art in Tassie, very famous, he made his fortune off gambling, but he hates pokies. He's from Glenorchy. Glenorchy has the highest concentration of poker machines in the state. So he has a very complex relationship with these things. So Walsh wanted to build a high roller casino without any poker machines. But in order to grant a license for the casino, the Tasmanian government needed to do a deal with Federal Group because this would break Federal Group's monopoly over gaming in the state. So Federal Group said they wanted their monopoly over poker machines extended in exchange for this. So Walsh, like, dumped his casino proposal, saying he couldn't agree to this, and he went public about the talks and basically exposing the cozy relationship between the government and Federal Group that stretched back decades.
Mm. What effect did that have? What did these revelations mean for this monopoly and for the Federal Group?
So because there was a lot of public scrutiny on gaming now, the Liberal government committed to a policy that included not only promises to make the industry sustainable, but also commitments around it having the highest standards of probity, which means integrity, basically, and harm minimization. So the government set up the Joint Select Committee on Future Gaming Markets, an inquiry to pretty much look at gambling in Tasmania entirely. What does the community think about it? What impact does it have on the economy? Like, what are the social implications of it? It would look at the future of poker machines, how the industry could be regulated, how it's taxed, licensing arrangements, tenders, all of that. That was the brief, everything.
And how did the inquiry go?
The committee held public hearings for 6 months.
There was a plethora of submissions about what would be the best model from both the Gaming Commission, from members of the community, in particular the community sector, about if we have to have poker machines in the community, how would that look?
149 submissions were put in to the committee. And then
at the 11th hour,
the Tasmanian Hotels Association, which represents the state's pubs and clubs, and Federal Group essentially made a deal with each other and put forward a joint submission about what they wanted to see changed.
Just as the committee were finalising their reports, put a very, very late submission in, outlining how they saw the arrangements being posted.
What does this submission say?
The industry pretty much proposed a model, like a new kind of model of licensing for gaming interests in Tasmania that gave hotel owners the ability to license pokies directly in their venues. That meant that they would hold the license rather than Federal Group, who held the license for everything. That proposal would immediately increase pub values massively because they have this hugely lucrative license. The model also proposed that they would raise the tax on pub pokies, and that was basically so the state wouldn't be any worse off financially under the deal, so they wouldn't lose money. But then they would slash them drastically on casino pokies, which are far more lucrative than pub pokies, from 25.88% of gross profit to 10%.
So basically it breaks up the monopoly, but individual pubs will be making a lot more money. And then pokies and casinos, which would still be held by the Federal Group, would also make a lot of money with this tax cut. Is that broadly accurate?
That's right. In fact, they would make more money on casinos because their tax rate would be massively lower.
Mm.
And this was also sort of seen as a kind of sweetener for Federal Group, who would be losing their monopoly.
How was this proposal received?
Well, sometime between the proposal going into the committee and the 2018 state election, the government, the Liberal Party, basically abandoned its former policy and pretty much adopted everything that the industry had put forward in their submission as their own policy.
Wait, so all of their talk about harm minimization and cracking down in some ways, that's gone?
Yeah, that's right. It was a pretty extraordinary pivot. Their formally stated policies and principles were completely abandoned, and the model that the industry proposed basically became the basis for a new law that they wanted to enact, which they essentially sold as a good one because the monopoly was going to end. But importantly, when they were talking about the details of the law that they were going to put forward to change the way gambling was regulated in Tassie, they were really quiet about one crucial little detail, which was the value of the casino pokies tax rate. So they basically took this brand new policy, the one that the industry had essentially put forward to them, to the 2018 state election.
When you say they kept it quiet, what do you mean?
They stayed quiet on the rate that they were going to propose in the law, despite being asked directly about it by journalists repeatedly. They didn't reveal what they were going to put in the legislation.
So how did this incredible backflip by the Liberal Party play at this 2018 election with the voters of Tasmania?
Well, it was interesting because that same state election, the Labor Party took a really strong anti-pokie stance. The Labor leader at the time, Rebecca White, said she was going to remove pokies from pubs and clubs around Tasmania. That was huge. The Labor Party's polling actually went up as a consequence. So they were kind of neck and neck for a while with the Liberal Party. And they had been like really badly beaten in the 2014 election. So to have that boost was quite significant.
We saw the Federal Group, the THA, and the poker machine industry throw every resource attacks at backing the state Liberal government at the time and the status quo. So we saw every pub in our community blazoned with save your local, vote Liberal.
They also donated a whole lot of money to the Liberal Party. The Liberal Party's donations in the year prior were about four times as much as Labor's. They got about $4 million worth in total. Now, Tasmania's disclosure laws are pretty weak, so there's only so much we know about the identity of these donors, but 80% of the donations we know about, according to one expert I spoke to, came from an assortment of poker machine interests, including Federal Group and the THA.
To be clear, though, neither the Liberal Party nor the Federal Group broke any rules regarding political donations at the time, but what did end up happening with this election?
The Liberal Party basically won a majority. From then on, it sort of seems like gambling reform, for the Labor Party anyway, became pretty much politically untouchable.
They've got absolute fear in the guts of both political parties that if they do anything that the Federal Group or the gambling industry doesn't like, then they will be campaigned against strongly, and there is a fear that they will lose elections over this.
This enormous political ad campaign and, you know, allegations that the gambling industry bankrolled the Liberal Party's campaign, that's a very disturbing display of influence and power from the industry here. Have these close ties between politics and the industry continued since then?
Yeah, they have. So over the past few months, in fact, and even just earlier this year, there have been some pretty explosive revelations about the role that the gambling industry has been playing in the years between the 2018 state election and the one held just this year. Not much kind of happened. It was almost like the gambling situation had stalled. And then all through the most recent election, neither of the major parties wanted to talk about pokies. It was like, this is the untouchable issue. And the Liberal Party in particular especially did not want to talk about the casino tax rate. The head of the Liberal Party, Premier Gutwin, was even asked by a journalist on ABC Radio in Hobart specifically what type of rate cut they had planned for Federal Group, which, as we mentioned earlier, is a significant Liberal donor, but he wouldn't say.
Premier, I think people have listened to this and heard you repeatedly refuse to say what rate one of your significant party donors will be charged in a decision that will impact on the state's budget, health, education and so on, potentially by hundreds of millions of dollars over 20 years, and you won't say what that rate will be.
Leon, I've made the point very clearly. This election's not about gaming reform. That was dealt with 3 years ago. As I've said, we will release the legislation at the earliest opportunity post-election when it's ready.
But then in March, a memorandum of understanding between the Labor Party and the Tasmanian Hotels Association was leaked. And that memorandum of understanding was signed earlier in the year, showing that Labor had effectively capitulated to the industry, essentially giving the THA the power of veto over its pokies policies.
What do you mean by power of veto? What exactly did they unveil?
So the kicker in this is really around the harm minimization strategies. So those strategies that have been shown time and time again to work for people who are at risk of gambling harm are the ones that basically require revenue from pokies to take a hit. So the memorandum of understanding requires the Labor Party to work together with the industry on developing those policies. And then I quote, while also agreeing that any measures need to be workable for the industry.
So what we have here is a party in the lead up to election saying, you know, if we are to win, we won't impose anything too harsh on the gambling industry.
That's pretty much the takeaway from that agreement.
Right. So what happened next?
Well, at the election, Gutwin and the Liberals won by a majority again. But recently, a right to information request from Upper House MP Meg Webb revealed correspondence between the Federal Group and the Liberal state government. Basically, it shows that prior to this election, in fact, late last year, at least, the casino pokies tax rate had been agreed upon between the government and Federal Group. So they knew what they were going to tax casino pokies at before the state election, but they kept that secret from the public. So after the election, after everyone has cast their vote on this election that was not supposed to be about the pokies, that was when the public found out what the rate would be. And they found out that the government had known about it for months before that.
So what you're telling me is that both parties were secretly doing deals with the industry in the months leading up to this election. One of them was found out before the election and one of them was revealed after the election. Is that right?
That's pretty much right. And it did not go down well with the public.
What did we find out about this tax rate cut that the Liberals had agreed to prior to the election but kept secret?
The tax cut is 10.91%, which represents something like $119 million worth of lost revenue over 20 years.
That is a lot of money.
Well, it's quite a lot of money that's not coming to the public and not going into schools and hospitals. Basically, opponents of the tax cut argue that if casino pokies were taxed at the same rate as those in pubs, the state could instead bring in some $248 million in public revenue over that same period. That's heaps of money. And it is pretty much exactly what the industry had proposed. So basically, we learned that the industry was getting more or less what it wanted.
More or less what it had put forward in the inquiry years ago. Is that right?
That's right.
Next, will this gambling bill do anything to fix Tasmania's gambling problem? Has Premier Gutwin given an explanation as to why his government agreed to this tax rate and why it was kept from the public before the election?
When asked about it at a press conference last month, Gutwin said it was legitimate to withhold the information from the electorate because it hadn't been passed by Cabinet.
Well, in terms of the government signalling its intentions, it does that regularly. But Cabinet didn't make its decision until the 24th of May.
If it wasn't a party donor, would you have written a letter?
Well, again, let me put this to you. Federal Hotels, as a party donor, just lost $20 million. Now, I'd like you to write that because at the end of the day, the view that some seem to be taking is that Federal Hotels have been given a hand up. They've lost $20 million as a result of the deal, and the state has done better, and pubs and clubs have done better.
It just raises questions why they were alerted to the deal ahead of any decisions being made.
I wrote to them signalling our intention, and then Cabinet made its decision in May.
Right, so everything hadn't been finalised, so it's okay that the public didn't know about their stance on this enormous tax cut before they went to the election.
Pretty much.
So, Steph, outside of this casino tax rate cut, what else do we need to know about this bill?
So it's called the Gaming Control Amendment Bill.
It provides licences to casinos and also provides licences individually to venues, so pubs and clubs in the community. It then also establishes a compliance body, a licence monitoring operator who will oversee the operation of that particular thing. It also sets up the financial arrangements in terms of taxation on the particular machines and the different kinds of gambling products.
And it's been incredibly controversial. So the government says that this bill is going to mark the end of the monopoly on gambling licences.
The state government are obviously making a big deal about this current proposed legislation is breaking the monopoly.
Opponents of the bill are much more critical. They say that in place of a monopoly, you're just going to have a whole bunch more businesses profiting from gambling. Because, as we mentioned, pubs will now directly benefit from pokies licences. And critics believe that this will make the whole industry harder to regulate. They also say that this new tax system is just too lenient, especially for Federal Group. But Premier Gutwin denies this. He says the state will be better off and Federal Group will be worse off by more than $25 million per year under this legislation.
Okay, so Steph, this bill has now been making its way through the Tasmanian Parliament these past few weeks. Can you tell me about that? Has it met much opposition there?
It's actually been really intense. So there's been a lot of debate in the lower and upper house about it. So obviously the Labor Party is broadly on board with it. There are a few amendments that they proposed in the lower house, but there were scores more proposed by the Independents and the Greens, who vehemently oppose a lot of the bill. None of those amendments got up. A couple of the ones proposed by the Labor Party who, you know, were voting with the government on a bunch of things, they did.
So, Steph, this all started with a push for reform of the gambling industry. What do advocates and politicians who are passionate about this reform say should be in this bill if the Tasmanian government are serious about harm minimisation?
So one of the arguments that anti-pokies campaigners or, you know, proponents of harm minimization efforts put forward is they say that 40% of losses from poker machines come from like high-risk gamblers, so people who are at serious risk of gambling harm. There are actually harm minimization techniques you can use that will minimize harm for those 40% and almost have no impact whatsoever on the people who just do it for fun. Mm. So some of those measures are $1 bet maximums and changing the machine spin speeds so that you can only spin once every 6 seconds and not once every 3 seconds. Mm. So that means you can make about half the amount of bets you would otherwise make. Those efforts actually massively reduce harm on gamblers who are medium and high risk and have almost no impact on anybody who just does it occasionally. But it does mean that 40% of revenue might be impacted by those harm minimization efforts. There are a few harm minimization things in the bill, but not these ones. And these are the really critical ones.
It sounds like it's expected that this bill will pass, mostly as is.
Yeah, it's possible that this will become law later this week.
This is a disturbing story, but it is just one state. It's one of the smaller states in Australia. What can the rest of the country learn from the tale of the gambling industry in Tasmania?
Tasmania is often seen as like a litmus test for what could happen in the rest of the country. It doesn't bode well for the intertwining of politics and the gaming lobby in the rest of the country. We should be asking ourselves how much influence we want these people to have. That's why it's important to pay attention, I think, to where the power is in this story and who is going to be most affected by it. We need to be thinking about the great levels of harm that pokies can inflict on people and on populations. And I think we should all be reflecting on that.
When I spoke in the House of Assembly, and I was in tears at the time, talking about the fact that I have to go out into my community and work with the community sector who I know are at the coalface, who are trying to pick up the pieces of broken individuals and broken families. And what this parliament will have done is entrench that harm forever.
This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria, Jane Lee and Melanie Tate. The executive producers of Full Story are Miles Mattagnoni, Gabrielle Jackson and myself, Laura Murphy-Oates. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a rating or a review. Okay, catch you tomorrow.